morning to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 21. Book of Exodus, chapter 21. We'll not be reading right now, but we will be going to Numbers 35, Deuteronomy 19, and Joshua chapter 20. We'll be going there throughout the message, so if you want to mark those places. But in Exodus chapter 21, verse 12 and verse 13, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. The chapter opens with an introductory remark in verse 1. Now these are the judgments or the statutes, the regulations, the rules, the dictates, which thou, Moses, shall set before them, that is, the people of Israel. In verses 2 through 11, we have regulations regarding the rights of male and female slaves. And then in verses 12 through 17, there are four crimes mentioned that required the death penalty. Our text opens there in verse 12 with a clear statement regarding the death penalty for murder. This is intentional murder and is reiterated again in verse 14. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. In verse 13, the Lord speaks of the unintentional taking of life. And he says, for this individual that has accidentally taken someone's life, caused someone's death, he would appoint a place where this individual could flee. God further develops this subject later on with Moses in Numbers chapter 35. And if we turn over there, Numbers chapter 35, he again mentions the death penalty for murder. In verse 16, the last part of the verse says, the murderer shall surely be put to death. We read the same thing in verse 17, the murderer shall surely be put to death. And again in verse 18, the murderer shall surely be put to death. But he makes again a distinction between those who intentionally kill someone and those who unintentionally kill someone. For those who unintentionally kill someone, it's an accident. There were to be six cities of refuge. Remember back in Moses or Exodus 21, I will appoint a place where he shall flee. Now God is enlarging upon this. Notice in verse 9, he says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, when ye come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, okay, so this was for Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities, to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any persons at unawares. This is not talking about intentional taking of life. For that individual, he is to be put to death. That's already been stated. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer, again, unintentionally, die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. So he would flee to these cities for a fair trial. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall give unto the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any persons unawares may flee thither. This all goes back to Exodus 21. I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. The subject of these six cities of refuge is again reiterated in Deuteronomy chapter 19. And then again in Joshua chapter 20, when Israel is in Canaan, the land has been possessed, the land has been subdued by the various tribes of Israel, and the various tribes of Israel have received their inheritance. And Joshua, notice in Joshua chapter 20, Joshua is now to instruct them concerning what God told Moses back in Exodus 21, back in Numbers 35, back in Deuteronomy 19. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. First time he did that again was in Exodus chapter 21. So again, he mentions, he says, appoint you cities of refuge. And again, he reiterates that these cities were to be for those who accidentally took someone's life. Verse 3, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Now, as you go on in Joshua chapter 20, the name and location of these cities are given in verse 7, in verse 8. We'll not read those verses for time's sake, but the names of the cities are given. The locations of the cities are given. Each name has a meaning. It's not the point of our message today to go into this, but each name has a meaning and represents what you and I find in Jesus Christ. So these cities of refuge are a type of Christ. The manslayer is a type of the sinner. The avenger is a type of the law of God or even God himself. And the manslayer fleeing into one of these cities of refuge is a type of salvation. I want to speak this morning on the subject of asylum for the soul. Asylum for the soul. Again, I remind you of the words of the Lord back in Exodus 21. I will point thee a place whither he shall flee. We want to consider two main points. First of all, the regulations concerning these cities of refuge. And then secondly, we simply want to make application to ourselves or to the lost. This message is mostly for those who are unsaved. But first of all, consider the regulations concerning these cities of refuge. In the Old Testament, of course, we have the custom of vengeance. In those days of blood revenge, the moment a person was killed intentionally or unintentionally, his nearest relative, took responsibility for vengeance. Notice in Numbers 35 again, verse 19 and verse 21. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. Verse 21, latter part of the verse, the revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. So the dead man's next of kin had a legal right and an obligation to avenge his relative's blood. But God made a provision. In the case where someone's life was taken unintentionally, God in his love, God in his grace and kindness and mercy, appointed six specific and distinct cities. Not just any city would do. There were six specific and distinct cities. Notice again Numbers 35, verse 15. Notice just the first few words. These six cities. That's specific. These six cities. And then again, the cities are mentioned, named, location given in Joshua chapter 20. So these six cities were clearly identified. They were specific. They were distinct, and they were cities of refuge. Notice again, Numbers 35. Notice verse 11. Then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you. Verse 12. And they, these cities, God appointed, shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger. Verse 13. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Verse 14. Just the last three words of verse 14. Cities of refuge. Verse 15, these six cities shall be a refuge. So over and over, and again we see the same thing in Joshua chapter 20. We have the word refuge, which implies people in distress, which implies people in danger. A place of refuge is a place that is capable of bringing relief for those who are in distress, for those who are in danger. And we see that these were places of provision. These cities would provide refuge. In other words, they were a haven. They were a sanctuary. They were places of shelter. They were places of safety and protection. They were places of security. They were places of immunity. It was a place to hide. It was a safe place. Again, notice in Numbers 35 and verse 11, cities for refuge from the avenger. Cities, or in verse 11, cities of refuge for you. For you. that individual who unintentionally killed someone, there were cities for him particularly. These cities, of course, were appointed by God. They were easily available. God didn't hide them somewhere and left the individual to find them and to figure it out. They were available. We see at least three of the cities were on top of mountains from Joshua chapter 20. They were accessible. That is, they were nearby and they were very well marked. I imagine the roads going to these cities were very well marked, and these roads would have to be kept clear. It was the Levites' responsibility, because all of these cities belonged to the Levites, to keep the roads clear, to make sure that these cities were accessible. Notice for whom the cities were there for. In verse 15 of Numbers 35, these six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel, for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. Joshua chapter 20 and verse 9. There, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger. Consider an Old Testament scenario. So we have the law. The law states, if you kill someone, you die. The murderer shall be put to death. But there were cases where someone, an accident happens. For these individuals, there were these cities that they could flee. Notice in Deuteronomy 19, we have a scenario. Verse 5. As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor. So you have these two individuals. They're going into the woods. They're going there for a purpose. To hew wood. To cut wood. They're friends. They're neighbors. They obviously know each other. And his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the hilt. So as they're cutting the trees, cutting the wood, the axe head flies off of the handle and lighteth upon his neighbor and strikes his neighbor, and he dies. And he dies. So an accident has occurred. There's a crisis. There lies a dead man. He has been accidentally killed. The one who is holding the axe handle, his life as he knows it is changed. Drastically changed. In a matter of a second. His life as he knows it has been disrupted. His life as he notices it, as he knows it, has been interfered with. And this man now is in dire straits. No doubt he's gripped with a heavy sorrow. His friend
is dead. He didn't intentionally kill him. An accident
has happened. And no doubt grief and remorse fill this man's heart. And there is a distress and an anguish that comes upon him. And he realizes, not only is my friend, not only is my neighbor dead, but I'm in danger. I am now in danger because I am subject to the wrath of this man's next of kin. He feels a definite and desperate need of refuge, of shelter, of protection. He sees and he feels his need of a sanctuary. And he flees to the nearest city of refuge. Leaving his house, his wife, his children, his way of life, everything, to get to this city of refuge. And as he arrives at the city, perhaps there is a sign: refugees, welcome. And there's joy. There's a sense of peace. Now consider for a moment what this man could have done. He's out there in the woods. They're chopping wood. The axe head flies off the handle, strikes his friend. His friend is immediately killed. There are a lot of things this man could have done. He could have acted as if nothing happened and just gone home. But he would have lived the rest of his life in danger of the avenger. He would have lived the rest of his life not knowing when and where the avenger might meet him. He could have taken matters into his own hands. He could have decided, I do not need a city of refuge. He could have decided, I'm going to go to a different city. One city is just as good as another. I'll go to a city that God has not appointed. And he would have lived under the wrath of the avenger, not knowing when and where the avenger of blood might strike. Now, let's make application to ourselves. In all of this, you can see a picture of salvation. Keep in mind that this individual that has fled to a city of refuge, his heart is filled with sorrow. His heart is filled with grief. His heart is filled with remorse. He is in distress, he is in anguish, he is in danger, and he sees his need. And that is where every sinner that God's going to save has to be brought before you will flee to this city. So let's consider some application. First of all, consider the condition and danger of the unsaved sinner. Notice in Romans chapter 3, very familiar verses of Scripture. Romans chapter 3. Begin reading with verse 9 through verse 12. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. That means more than the fact that they have sinned. They are all under sin, under the bondage of sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. For emphasis, no, not one. So he says there is none righteous. What do you mean by that, Paul? I mean no, not one. I mean there are no exceptions. There are none righteous. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, again, emphasis. No, not one. Verse 19. Now we know whatsoever, and we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Guilty before God. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These verses plainly state that all have sinned, that all are sinners, and that they are under the bondage of sin. That leads us to the question, what is sin? Sin is simply the infraction and violation of God's law. It means that you have broken the law of God. Now, isn't it funny today, not in a humorous way, but in a puzzling way, you break the law of the land and you know there are consequences for that. And yet people would have you to believe today that you can break the laws of God and have no consequence whatsoever. There are consequences to broken laws. Man has broken the law of God. To break the law of God is sin. This is no light matter. Sin is filthy in the eyes of God. It may not be so in your eyes, but it is filthy in the eyes of God. It is vile, it is corrupt. And it is always against God. And it immediately, as soon as you sin, it puts you in opposition to God. You don't want to be in that position of opposition to God. The sinner is guilty. That is, he is responsible and he has been justly charged. When someone is pronounced guilty, they are saying, you are responsible for what you have done. And you have been justly charged. We have found that the charges against you are just. Because of your sin, because of your guilt, you are condemned. Talking to the unsaved sinner, you are condemned. That is, sentence has been passed. Notice John 3, verse 18. Very familiar verse. Again, John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, condemned presently, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So he's guilty. Sentence has been declared. And you are in immediate danger of that sentence being carried out. John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. This wrath is the carrying out of the sentence. So if you're here today without Christ, you have broken God's law. You dishonor his name every day. You reject his authority over and over and over again. You despise or think very little of his son, of his gospel, and of his grace. And the great, almighty, holy, pure, sin-offended God is the avenger of blood. And he has the ability, and not only the ability, but he has the right to heap eternal damnation upon you. And this he can do at any place, at any time. Condemned, and with the wrath of God abiding on you, you risk destruction. Notice in Numbers 35 again. Numbers 35. Verse 19. Verse 21. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. And then here's what I want to notice. Four words. When he meeteth him. When he meeteth him. He shall slay him. We read the same thing at the end of verse 21. You're guilty. You're under sentence. And at any time and at any place, the revenger of blood may meet you. You have no idea where. It may be around the next corner. It may be just a couple miles down the road. You do not know. But somewhere at some time, the avenger of blood is going to meet you. You are condemned. You are under the wrath of God. And you are in grave danger. Every single day, at any time, at any place, the revenger of blood may come upon you. Wherever you go, you may have a great time. You may be having a great time in life. You're just enjoying life. But I want you to know, if you're here without Christ, you're condemned. And you're under the wrath of God. Remember that. Now this will upset some people. Why do you have to remind me this? I want you to remember it. I want you to remember when you're having a good time, you are condemned. You are under the wrath of God. The avenger of blood is out there. And he can meet you at any time. You may be at an amusement park. You may be at a family picnic. You may be at a sporting event. You may be having a great time. But my friend, you are condemned. And under the wrath of God. This is serious. You are in grave danger. You go to bed every night condemned. Under the wrath of God. You rise in the morning condemned. And maybe this is the day. Maybe this is the day where the avenger of blood meets you. You don't know.
You don't know. But he's out there. And you're condemned. And the wrath of God abideth on you. You are in danger of eternal ruin. As you drive your car down the road, you are condemned and the wrath of God abideth on you, and you are in danger. When you go under the knife in surgery, oh friend, realize you are condemned and under the wrath of God. This is serious. We read in Luke 16:22-23, and the rich man died. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. But God in his grace has appointed a place of refuge. You have violated the law of God. You are under condemnation. You are under the wrath of an almighty sin-offended God. But God has provided, has appointed a refuge, a sanctuary, a shelter, a place where the condemned sinner can find safety. Can find protection, security, immunity, an asylum for the soul. That appointed place, that safe place, is Jesus Christ. You are condemned. The wrath of God abideth on you. Jesus Christ is qualified. He is endowed to meet the condemned sinner's needs. It says there were six cities. You couldn't go anywhere else. There is one God-appointed place for refuge for the condemned sinner. As a condemned sinner, again, we cannot stress enough, you are in danger of the wrath of God. And you may go from here today, and you may seek all sorts of refuge from this wrath. You may think, well, you know, maybe he's right. Maybe I am a sinner. Maybe I am condemned. Maybe I am under the wrath of God. So just in case, just in case if he's right, I'm going to flee to the refuge of religion. I'm going to flee to the refuge of baptism. I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to take refuge in good works and morality. But if that's where you've taken refuge, when the avenger, at any place and at any time, meets you, all those refugees will be swept away. They will not stand. They are refuges of lies. And as an unsaved sinner today, you may not be bothered. You may not even be concerned about your condition. Condemned already. You may be living your life thinking, all is well. You may not even be aware that there is an avenger, and that the wrath of God abideth on you. And we pray today that the Spirit of God Remember that man in Deuteronomy 19:5? He goes out in the woods. Something happened that day. He didn't plan on it happening. I'm sure it never crossed his mind. You know, I could be chopping wood, my axe head fly off and kill my neighbor. I'm sure it didn't cross his mind. But something happened that day that disrupted his whole life. And that's your only hope today, is that the Spirit of God would get a hold of you, disrupt, and interfere with your life. When that axe head flew off the handle and killed that man's neighbor, he knew immediately, I'm in trouble. And that the Spirit of God would get a hold of you and you would realize today that you are a violator of God's law. And that you would begin to feel how loathsome, how vile, how disgusting, how filthy that your sin is. And that when that axe head flew off the handle, and there lies that man dead, his neighbor is now filled with sorrow. We pray today that the Spirit of God would show you your condition, show you just how rotten, how vile, how filthy your sins are, and that that would fill you with sorrow and grief and remorse. Imagine the remorse that that man felt as he's out there chopping wood and the axe head flies off the handle and kills his neighbor. I'm sure he's, oh, I wish I'd have never even come out here today. I wish I'd have never got out of bed. Oh, I'm so sorry. I wish I would have checked the axe head. And he would, the remorse. And you cannot be saved without remorse over your condition and what you have done. So this nonsense, this heresy, just repeat a few words. Friend, that doesn't work. Amen. There was remorse. We pray that you would feel sorrow and grief and remorse. That you'd begin to see. That you would begin to feel the danger that you are in. That the Spirit of God would cause you to see your need. When all of that happens, you then in distress and anguish of soul, just like that man who accidentally killed his neighbor, he turned away from that dead body and he fled. Now you need to turn from your sin. You need to turn from your sin and flee. You need to turn from all your ways. You need to turn from your life, your opinions, whatever it is that you are trusting in, and without hesitation, without delay, flee to Christ. And I promise you today, if you can do that, you will find refugees welcome. Refugees welcome. And there will be peace that you've never felt before. Notice in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 10. Just the last part of that verse. Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Even Jesus. He's the only one. He's the only one today. Oh, I pray that you would feel your need to flee to Jesus Christ. John the Baptist preached in Matthew 3 and verse 7. He said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? There is a wrath to come. And because that wrath is yet to come, many think it doesn't exist. But there is a wrath to come. And if you are condemned today and the wrath of God abideth on you, my friend, there is a wrath to come. And the avenger could meet you at any time, at any place. You are condemned already. Wrath of God abideth on you. And there is for you, in your present condition, there is a wrath to come. But thanks be unto God. God has provided a place. Jesus. Where the guilty, condemned sinner can find asylum for his soul. If you can flee to Christ today, do so without delay. Do so without hesitation. Well, you've given me something to think about. While you're thinking about it, remember, you are condemned already. While you are thinking about it, the wrath of God abideth on you. While you are thinking about it, around any corner, the avenger of blood may meet you. So you just go ahead and think about it. But I'm telling you, while you're thinking about it, you're in grave danger. But when is it that the sinner will flee to Christ? It's when he realizes, just as that man realized, I've killed my neighbor. When you realize your condition, when you realize your condition, when you realize your need, you will flee to Jesus Christ. And it is there that you will find relief. It is there that you will find an asylum for your soul. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse of song.